From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the fourth day of March 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senator Grassley says if taxpayers are going to bail out the auto industry, then it needs to commit to renewable fuels. And the other senator from Iowa is working to take a whole class of chemicals off the shelf. We'll have more on these and other stories shortly. And then we'll take up the issue of how to deal with open-ended basis-only contracts. And as we close out this edition of the Closing Mark Report, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens right here on a Wednesday afternoon. The Closing Mark Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriVolt Hybrids, providing agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriVolt customers in the AM 580 area. AgriVolt, the global specialist. More information is at agrivolt.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat pit at $5.11¾, 21½ higher. May futures 5.23, up 21¼. And July wheat at 5.35, up 21¼. March corn futures 3.55¼, up 11¾. May at 3.63½, up 13¢. And July corn at 3.72¾, up 13. September 3.81¾, 13¼ higher. December corn 3.93¾, up 13. March soybean futures 8.75½, up 12½ cents. May at 8.68½, up 15. And July at 8.67¾, 16½ cents higher. August contract 8.52, 17¾ higher. November beans $8.10¼, up 19¢ on the afternoon. March bean meal at 274.20, up 2.50. The May up 260 at 267.30. March bean oil 30.74, 55 higher. The May at 30.99, up 57. April live cattle futures 84.65, 42½ cents higher. June contract up 60 at $83.05. March feeder cattle $93.25, up $1.05, as are the April, up $1.05 at $93.85. April lean hogs $62.32½, $1.47½ higher, and the May futures there at $71.62½. Lean hogs settled the May contract 95¢ higher. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures are trading $48.38 a barrel at $3.73 higher. May futures at $47.20, up $3.29. March ethanol, $1.54.09, 5¢ higher. April up 4¢ at $1.53.02. Natural gas at $4.31.02, up 2¢. And the May at $4.39.06, up 4¢. RBOB gasoline at $1.37¼, 5¢ higher for the day. And the propane futures up 0.3¢ at $61.07. Gold futures at $906, down $6.90 for the nearby March contract. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 69.47 is up just about 222 points. At this hour, here's what the weather forecast now looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in the southern and western parts of Illinois should become mostly cloudy, elsewhere clear to partly cloudy. Lows this evening will range from 27 in northeastern Indiana to 42 in the southern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow should become mostly cloudy, drizzle and a few showers possible during the afternoon, mainly in the northern part of Illinois. Highs will range tomorrow from 50 in northern Indiana to 65 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says it'll be windy and warmer, and that'll be across the two-state region over the weekend. A few light showers will move across northern sections through Friday, but most areas will stay dry, allowing improvement for those locations with rivers and streams that have been or near or at flood stage.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul, tell me about this marketplace. There was a little turnaround in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but still we're below 7,000. Things are awfully cheap.
Yes, they are. And, of course, these are my opinions and not necessarily ADM Investors or ADM Grain. The big thing here is we are close to trading above the 7,000 mark on a closing basis today, and we bulls in the stock market hope that happens. I think it really started last night in the middle of the night when there was positive economic news out of the giant China, where their economy had started to pick up. And also in Japan, with their stock trading as well, picking up momentum. And then we started to see a pickup in the crude oil, the U.S. Stocks, and, of course, the corn, soybeans, and wheat last night. We all love to watch Jim Cramer, and, of course, today he mentioned the word buying international oil stocks. And, of course, we've mentioned even last week that oil is acting better, and of course it's up a solid at least 350 or 360 at the present time. The market is going through a lot of pessimism, wealth destruction. It's very oversold, and of course in 87, when it was the darkest hours, we did see people start to come in and buy stuff, and I call them affectionately junk dealers or junk traders, because they see values, and a junk dealer knows what it costs to buy junk and where he can sell it at a higher price. And one of the days of the old Continental Grain Company days is they knew every night where the cheapest grain was in the world and where the highest price grain is every night in the world. And I think the commodity market tries to function that way, and that's one reason why we saw a good rally today.
Well, would you be of the opinion that while we had a good rally today that we can stabilize the market at this point then?
Well, I think there's enormous problems here, and there's an enormous confidence problem that's still in the marketplace. And what it also is a confidence point is the stimulus, the political deal, is it the right medicine? Does it give our workers and our companies a basic disadvantage in the world with some of the policies that we're seeing? You know, those are the enormous questions. Going back to historic data, you know, when we look at past presidents like Kennedy and Clinton, they were very pro-business and it did a lot of things to stimulate business, and we wonder if he's going to continue with the higher taxes and health care policy changes that the stock market's basically nervous about.
Well, the stock market certainly is nervous. Is there a point at which grains can unhook from that nervousness?
You know, I think it's a thing that's going to last for a long time, that and the crude. And once we get crude oil in this $45 to $50 a barrel deal, then it helps the ethanol companies, it helps the corn market. So, no, it's those two things are going to be economic factors for years to come.
What are farmers asking you, as they call it?
They are very nervous. They're very concerned. And the realization of this major problem is out there in big time. There is concern about the big acreage shift to beans. There's big concern about the big inventories of corn and soybeans. There's economic worries about what happens, if this would continue. So there is a tremendous amount of concern out here, and we underline the word concern.
Tell me more about the inventory of corn, because it seems to me that the inventory of corn, while it's not growing, usage is dropping off fairly dramatically or slowing down as some of the economics around the world have slowed down. What impact, if any, do you see that having? And am I right in the assumption there?
Yes. Two things, though, that I think are good. I think the world inventory of corn is fairly small. That's A. B, we know with $45 crude oil to $50, that helps the ethanol industry. And C, if there is this much pessimism, there is a major grain company that took a survey, and we understand that they did some policy lookies at this. And what they basically said is that, you know, if there is a corn acreage under 83 million acres, you will see a substantial price rally in corn. Customer A tells me the guys in the go-go areas are still going to plant a lot of corn, and then some of the areas that are very pessimistic are going to plant more soybeans based on inputs. So the tug of war, and it changes almost tick by tick in the marketplace. So that verdict and answers out. But if we do come in with 83 million acres or less, we could see a substantial bottom in corn.
Tell me about the crop in South America, what you hear about it. Not nearly as impacted by the dry weather as the corn was, for instance, in Argentina.
Yeah, good question. The economic deal is horrible down there. That's A. The government of Argentina is in complete economic chaos. With less inputs, I think that some of the private people that are saying the crop is this size are taking a big chance. Because usually when less fertilizer, we see yields loss. I think it is a small crop, and that's going to augur well for our prices, and it's going to be awful hard to jumpstart that South American economy in even 5 years.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find all kinds of things. You can subscribe for our weekend newsletter on the right-hand side of the page. Listen to Commodity Week, the Closing Mark Report, other agricultural programming. It's all at willag.org. And don't forget, all that information about our upcoming All Day Ag Outlook meeting next Tuesday is on the website as well. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Pick up the information at willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, officials at the World Bank now say the overall global economy is expected to contract this year. It is the first time the entire globe has been expected to see a negative gross domestic product since records began being kept in 1970. Previously, the record for the global economy's worst year was 1982, when economic activity increased by only 0.3%. Just last December, the World Bank forecast world GDP would expand this year by a rate of about 0.9%. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators yesterday introduced a bill that would expand the Food and Drug Administration's access to company records during a food emergency and give the agency mandatory recall powers. The bill would also require a boost in FDA inspections of food facilities and require importers to verify the safety of their products. The bill would require inspections of food facilities at least every 4 years and require annual inspections of high-risk facilities every year. A group of more than 100 scientists expressed opposition to a proposal before the California Air Resources Board to apply so-called indirect land use changes to ethanol when calculating the fuel's greenhouse gas emissions score. How the board decides to grade ethanol is being closely watched by biofuel advocates because the CARB rule has the potential to put ethanol at a disadvantage when compared to other fuels. The scientists based their opposition to the CARB rule on two primary reasons. They say the science is too limited and uncertain for regulatory enforcement, and that indirect effects are often misunderstood and should not be enforced selectively. CARB is set to consider the standards sometime in April. And North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Roger Johnson announced yesterday that he is a candidate for the presidency of the National Farmers Union. Johnson has been the elected Democratic North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner for 12 years, and he is in the middle of a four-year term. NFU President Tom Bias is resigning March 16th to become Chief Executive Officer of Growth Energy, a pro-ethanol lobbying group. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of the University of Illinois Public Radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, farmers in the Eastern Corn Belt have seen cash prices rise above futures in Chicago. It's prompted some of them to make basis-only contracts with the local elevator. I'll have more on the consequences of those deals. A basis-only contract works something like this and is usually done when the cash price is over the futures price for the same commodity in Chicago. The elevator says it'll pay 10 cents more per bushel than the futures price on a delivery date sometime in the future. Let's use December corn futures as the point of reference and harvest as the delivery time frame. In a basis-only contract, the farmer agrees to deliver corn to the elevator at harvest. The elevator agrees to pay the farmer a cash price that is, in this case, worth 10 cents more than the price of the December corn futures contract on that date. A sale has been made, but the price really has not been set, other than the 10 cents. And that agrees Bridget Chenoweth of the Growmark-owned consulting service AgriVisor makes the farmer a speculator in the marketplace.
Yeah, you're still open on that cash sale, so you could go in and use the futures market to help protect yourself because you are still open to that risk.
Is that something that you think a producer needs to do is the question, and how soon do they need to do that if that's the case?
Well, we should have done it 3 weeks ago when we were, you know, $2 higher on beans and $1.20 higher on corn. But if you haven't done it, there's still possibilities of corn going another dollar and beans another two, and you've got to be aware of that and be ready to either put some put spreads on or do something to protect that's unsold that you're not going to sell.
That last voice belongs to Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He and Chenoweth were panelists on a University of Illinois radio program called Commodity Week. So was U of I Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. He took up the merits of a basis-only contract, too.
What you're accomplishing is the same as selling the cash grain and buying futures. So you're taking your ownership out of the cash market, putting it in the futures market, because under a strong basis, small carry market, like we have in soybeans, they're saying there's no return to storage in basis appreciation. So the only way to make money is basically to bet on the futures price going up. So it's a way to capture the strong basis with risk that it could get much weaker as we move through the spring and summer, but you're still now speculating on higher prices.
And so the choice, says Daryl Good, is to either just sell the cash grain or to make a basis contract and then to cover it in some form in the futures market. Leaving it open makes the owner a speculator in the marketplace, most likely with a prescribed date of delivery. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook Meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, University of Illinois Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting: the Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons join us this afternoon from their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Jenny Springer is on the line with us. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
Hey, tell me about yourself, since this is the first time you're on the air with us.
Well, I am just starting here at the Andersons, and I will graduate from Purdue in May and then head to Illinois to work for the Andersons.
All right. Well, congratulations, and we're glad to have you both in Indiana and Illinois. And well, we'll have to let you go on the Purdue thing, but they've got a fine land-grant university there, too. Tell me about the marketplace and how the folks around you are talking about it to farmers and others that are interested in making sales or not.
Just with the outside market pressure today is what pushed the grain markets up.
And what are your bids there, Jenny, for the day?
Nearby corn at Climbers is $3.66. Nearby corn at Delphi is $3.63, and nearby beans at Delphi are $8.68.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jenny. We appreciate taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Jenny Springer is with the Andersons. She's at the Delphi Climbers facility in Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon to help us take a quick look at what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. A couple of other items that you might want to be aware of: make sure that you visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There, of course, you will find all the kinds of programming content that you hear on the program on the radio station, including the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and other agricultural radio programming, along with a way to subscribe to our weekend marketing newsletter. And it's all free at WILLAG.org. And right now there is a whole lot of information about our upcoming All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's scheduled for next Tuesday. That's the 10th of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Kicks off really early in the morning if you're in the central time zone. Well, even if you're in the eastern time zone, 7:15 a.m. Central, 8:15 a.m. Central, starting registration. It's $16 to come in, and that includes the meal at the midday and a bit of a morning type of breakfast. A few things there available for you to take in as we go through the day. And it's a really good program. We hope that you will visit the website at willag.org and be interested enough to come over and visit with us at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That comes up next Tuesday, March the 10th. The Beef House is located just off exit 4 on I-74, just inside the Indiana border. Indiana-Illinois border, that is, on the Indiana side. Stay with us. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's National Pound Cake Day. The pound cake originated several centuries ago in England. The name comes from the fact that the original pound cakes contained 1 pound each of butter, sugar, eggs, and flour. By the mid-1800s, the recipe began to deviate slightly from the original formula to make a lighter cake. But it was not until the 20th century that baking powder and soda were added. On this day in agricultural history in 1634, Samuel Cole supposedly opened the first tavern in the U.S. in Boston. Sam Cole's Inn was surrounded by spacious grounds, which commanded a view of the Boston Harbor and its shipping. Later, he purchased a residence next to the Hancock Tavern, where historians believe plans for the Boston Tea Party were discussed. In 1792, Samuel Slocum was born. He invented a machine to make pins with solid heads and a machine for sticking the pins in a paper holder for sale. His machine was patented in 1841. A sliding hopper deposited a number of pins in grooves in a plate from where a row of wires pushed them into a folded paper. The machine was activated by a foot treadle. In 1792, Kona oranges were introduced to Hawaii by Captain George Vancouver. The Kona had a sweet acid balance reminiscent of the pineapple. Sailors planted citrus trees along trade routes to prevent scurvy. And in 1927, Ira Remsen died, an American chemist. He was co-discoverer with Constantine Fahlberg of saccharin, the artificial sweetener. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Boy, what a beautiful day here it is in the Midwest. Will it stay this way?
It'll actually get a little bit better before it gets a little worse. It's always the case, isn't it? We are expecting to see a warming trend continue to build up across a big part of the nation's midsection. Our temperatures are going to rise well above average as we go forward over the next few days, and that's the best news that I can give you. We are going to be looking at afternoon temperatures probably peaking out in the 70s in part of the listening region. Certainly 60s will be more common, but we will still be definitely warmer across the region we've been for a while. We're going to raise those soil temperatures a little bit, might see a little bit of a bit of green up maybe take place near and south of the Ohio River for a brief period of time. But don't get too comfortable, because I do see colder air coming back into the region, and that will take place towards the end of next week and into the following weekend. We will be possibly well below normal on temperatures in the northern portions of the Midwest, while the lower parts probably will see something a little more seasonably cool. But frost and freezes will be back across a big part of the nation as we finish out this first half of the month. Plains area that I think the most people are interested in right now are still dealing with dryness. Most of the southern hard red wheat region has no opportunity for meaningful precipitation here over this next week to almost 10 days. There are a couple of disturbances that will pass through the region, one this weekend and one early next week, but neither one of them is going to produce much moisture in Texas or western parts of Oklahoma or southwest Kansas. So those areas which are already trending pretty darn dry are going to get a little bit drier yet, and it's going to be in the 80s the next 3 days in part of the southern plains.
As a reference, how dry are they generally speaking? It seems to me that they're prone to drought more often than, of course, we are here in the Midwest. But how often does it happen, and how does this compare to previous droughts in the area?
Well, it certainly is significant in the sense that it hasn't rained much in the last 90-plus days outside of what occurred in the February 8th through the 11th period. Actually, that was the only rain event that had occurred since back in early December. And relative to other dryness periods, yes, you are absolutely correct. It is not unusual for them to go through a period of dryness during the winter, but this is becoming a little bigger of a concern because of the fact that we're also warming up now, and it's one thing to be dry during the winter when temperatures are cool because the evaporation rates are so low, but you start generating 70 and 80 degree high temperatures and continue the dry bias, and all of a sudden you throw these areas into a much more desperate need for rain, and the situation can go downhill very quickly. But a lot of these crops in the southern plains were well established last fall. That's the other real positive thing. Relative to normal, though, the last 90 days, we're probably 25% of normal precipitation from central Kansas and interior western Kansas straight southward into the eastern part of the Texas Panhandle and westernmost portions of Oklahoma, with not a whole lot better than 50% of normal in the rest of the region.
Drew, we need to let you go.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks much. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. You can hear his report again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And there you can find all the details for our all-day Ag Outlook. It's next Tuesday. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.